ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. वि आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दि 13th चाप्टर् आफ् दि भगवद्गीता. Arjuna had asked 6 questions, but all the 6 questions can be classified into only 2 questions. What is Purusha? What is it that is to be known? What is Kshetrajna? It means exactly the same, but the more we discuss, the more clarity we get. Similarly, what is Kshetram? What is Prakruti? And what is it that has to be really the jnanam, knowledge. These three are more or less what is it? A whole universe is the field and it is its nature is also Brahman. It seemingly, it seems that as if I am different, everything is different. The ultimate realization is there is neither one nor two, but whatever is, that alone is. We have come to the 19th shloka, which we had been discussing in our last class. Sri Krishna, again reiterating, iti kshetram tatha jnanam gneyam cha uktam samasataha madbhakta etad vijnaya madbhavaya upapadyate. Thus, briefly have been set forth the field, also knowledge, and the object of knowledge. My devotee, who understands this, becomes worthy of my state. So what Bhagavan Krishna is telling, O Arjuna, I have enumerated 4 topics already. You asked separately, Kshetra and Kshetrajna, Jnanam and Gneyam, Purusha and Prakruti. So I have in a brief manner, but sufficiently clear manner. There is no need for me to go on expounding or expanding. Whatever I have told you, if you have paid attention, and especially if you are fit to understand and to receive what I was trying to give you, then as a result, what happens? If you had understood, you would have become a devotee. If you had understood, your delusion or ajnana should have completely been demolished, destroyed, and you would have become one of my greatest devotees. Remember, always, to become devoted, it means to love God. And love comes only after knowledge. What is the knowledge? Who am I? What is God? What is the relationship between me and God? That is called knowledge. And when we get correct knowledge, that is called Gnayam. Then we realize, like a child who was adopted or who was lost. After many years, then he rejoins his real mother and father, and then the knowledge is given to him. These are my real parents. As soon as that knowledge comes, follows automatically natural devotion, natural love, natural attachment. This is being told. If anybody has understood it, listened to it, thought about it, prayed for God's grace, and as a result understood it properly, what does he become? He becomes madbhaktaha bhavati. The moment we come to know who is God, who is me, and what is the relationship. First state is, you are my Lord, I am your servant. Higher state than that is, as we go on becoming more pure, then our understanding becomes deeper. Our devotion also becomes deeper. Then I say, you are my mother and father, I am your child. And even final understanding comes, really, there is no difference between you and me. We are exactly the same. So, madbhaktaha etad vijnaya mad bhaktah bhavati. Anybody who understands what is taught, remember Arjuna was only representative of every sincere spiritual aspirant, whether Hindu or non-Hindu. Then he becomes a devotee. And what is the benefit of becoming a devotee? Madbhavaya upapadyate. He attains my state. What is the final knowledge? That I am not the servant, I am not the child, I am thou. There is no difference. Tattvamasi, aham brahmasmi. That is the knowledge it comes. In this 19th shloka, iti, thus Bhagavan is telling kshetram about the what is called the field, that is the whole world, including the body and mind. And in parenthesis, we have to add kshetrajna, that is the knower, the purusha, the witness, who goes on through the help of this body mind. First he was ignorant, now he becomes little knowledgeable, more knowledgeable, and absolute knowledge also he gains in the end. So kshetram and kshetrajna. Again, jnanam and gneyam. Gneyam means what is to be really known, true knowledge. What is true knowledge? Who am I? What is this world? What is God? And the final knowledge is through sadhana, that there is absolutely no three, three in one, one in three. This is called jnanam, and jnanam means that knowledge, that sadhana through which we attain to that knowledge. Iti cha uktam samasatah. Samasata means sufficiently brief, but sufficient for understanding it 100%. And what is the test that anyone understood? He becomes my devotee. And what is the utility, result of becoming my devotee? He attains me. That means he sees no difference between him and me. So with this, Krishna has said, I have taught you four topics. But you asked, O Arjuna, six topics. I have spoken very deliberately and in complete, without hiding anything, I have opened everything so that you understand correctly. And because of my grace, even though I have spoken briefly, you have understood correctly. If you have understood, how do you know? There is a test. You will become a devotee and you will attain to me. That is the result of correct understanding and obtaining correct knowledge. So, what are those four topics the Lord has discussed? Kshetram, first. Second, kshetrajna. Third, jnanam. Fourth, jnayam. And he said only briefly but sufficiently. Here we have to understand something, that let none of us be under any mistaken notion that Krishna has taken 3 or 4 hours teaching Arjuna almost all the 700 plus verses which we see in our present books, any book. That would be a mistake. Duryodhana and others, the opposite party, will not be waiting for Krishna till he finishes the Bhagavad Gita. The whole thing must have been taught to Arjuna in a trice. I will give you that buddhi, dhiyo yonaha prachodayat, and in a flash that understanding comes. That's why the tantric scriptures tell us there are three types of conveying knowledge. This is called diksha. Diksha is nothing but conveying the highest knowledge. But for the least equipped people, it is called mantra diksha. The guru whispers the mantra, and a mantra is nothing but knowledge which liberates us. The second is called sparsha diksha. And the guru doesn't open his mouth, but he glances at the disciple with grace and he touches him. Sparsha. Sometimes Sri Ramakrishna used to write something on the tongue of people. That also falls under sparsha diksha. Third is called shambhavi diksha, where even the guru disciple may not meet physically, but spirituality does not preclude physical union of the teacher and the student. Wherever the distance and time are of no barriers at all, this is called shambhavi diksha. The moment the guru decides that I must impart this knowledge to my disciple, and when the disciple is ready, we presume instantaneously the transmission takes place like two wires of an electric cut wires are joined, rejoined together. Instantaneously, electricity is restored and the bulbs, fan, refrigerator, movie, magnet, everything, fan, everything starts to function normally. This is what he is telling. So still, I am going to talk about two more subjects. What are they called? Purusha and Prakruti. As I mentioned earlier, Purusha and Prakruti is another way of expounding what is, who is Kshetrajna and what is Kshetram, what is Gnayam and what is called Gnanam is another way. But since it is another way, we have to go through it for two reasons. Because Krishna is expounding it, that is main reason. But the most important reason is, once talking about, once teaching about, may not be sufficient for most of us. We have to go on listening to it, how many times? Until we grasp what is being taught and it makes us to undertake sadhana and realize God. So, such a person, he has to listen. We all fall under the third category. It is said, the first class student, first shravana, and immediately understands it, like Narendranath, Swami Vivekananda. Second class students, he has to hear it quite a number of times and for a long time under the guidance of the right teacher. Then he has to do manana. But the lower class person is there. That person, third class person, he has to go on listening, go on thinking, and slowly, slowly he will also understand. That's why in the scriptures it is said, Paunah Punyena Shravanam Kuryat. One should study or listen Paunah Punyena again and again and again and again. So even in the Brahma Sutras it is written, Asakrut Avruti Asakrut Upadeshat. Avruti means studying. Asakrut, Sakrut means once. Asakrut means as many number of times as necessary Upadeshat. This has been prescribed, injunction has been given. The only purpose is, it doesn't depend on the scripture, depends on your capacity, on my capacity. Such a person, if we have understood correctly, then we also become devotees, and the result of our devotion is that we become free from the bonds of samsara. Now, we are going into the 20th verse. Prakrutim purusham chaiva Vidyanadevubhavapi vikaramscha gunamschaiva viddhi prakruti sambhavan. Prakrutim purushamcha eva viddhi anadi ubhav api vikaramscha gunamscha eva viddhi prakruti sambhavan. Know that prakruti and purusha are both without beginning, and also know that all forms and gunas are born of Prakruti. Arjuna's question was, what is Purusha and what is Prakruti? And between these two, what are the differences and what are the similar points? So first similar point is, where there is Purusha, there will be Prakruti. Where there is Prakruti, there will be Purusha. Where there is Ishvara, there will be Maya. Where there is Maya, there will be Purusha, Ishvara. So this is the invariable combination. Why are we talking about this invariable combination? Because we are endowed. All of us are sadhakas, beginners, jignasus. All of us have got body, mind, and what is called a bit of consciousness, called also Chidabhasa. Now, we are in this condition. And unfortunately, we are thinking that I am the body. Sometime, most of the time, I think I am the body. And a little bit, we think I am the mind. When do I think I am the body? During the waking state. When do I think more that I am the mind rather than the body? During the dream state. And during the deep sleep state, I am neither the body nor the mind. And yet, I am not free, because there is that initial covering up power of Prakruti or Maya is there. So, in this context, Purusha is Brahman or Ishvara. More accurately, it is Ishvara, and Prakriti is Maya, and Prakriti is Ajnana. That is how we have to understand it. So both, where there is Prakriti, there will be Purusha. So here Purusha means Ishvara. So why are we talking like this? Because when a person is beyond body mind, the question of Purusha, Prakriti, Kshetra, Kshetrajna, as well as Jnanam, Jnayam, such distinctions are not there. All these are distinctions because of the mind. And the mind invariably has this body, this B and M complex, body and mind complex. This is what is called a mixture of Purusha and Prakriti, Ishvara and Maya. What Vedanta calls Ishvara and Maya, what Sankhya Yoga calls Purusha and Prakriti, absolutely we can take it as one. There is slight difference, but we need not go into that difference now. Now, what is the first description? Both Purusha and Prakriti Viddhi Ubhavapi Anadi. Adi means beginning. Anadi means beginningless. That means they are there eternally. Then should we identify these two also with Parabrahma? No, because this Adi, beginning, Anadi, beginningless, bound, or what is called Baddhaha, Muktaha, freed, all these ideas. Remember, we don't get during deep sleep, we get only during the dream state as well as the waking state. Therefore, so long as we have the idea that I am bound, that means I am the body, I am the mind. Indirectly, that's what we are saying. And when we say that I have become freed now, and that is also an idea, that is also vritti in the mind only. Do you just imagine in your deep sleep, do you ever say, I was bound, I did sadhana, and I became free? The idea of bondage doesn't arise. Therefore, the idea of sadhana doesn't arise. Therefore, the idea of siddhi or the ultimate result also doesn't come out. Here is the Prakriti is always associated with Purusha. Purusha is always associated with Prakriti. This is the idea of Sankhya Yoga, and more or less that is the idea of cosmology in Vedanta, because Vedanta bodily lifted certain matters from Sankhya school of philosophy and incorporated into its philosophical school. That is, this Bhagavad Gita is a higher reconciliation, which I will talk about it during the course of this exposition. Prakritim Purusham, both are anadhi. But is there no difference? Yes, there is a difference. Vikaramscha gunamscha eva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. We see so many things. All the things that we experience can be classified as changes. What is the very first to change? Parabrahma has no maya. It is not even one. It is beyond the concept of either one or many. But our human mind can never think of something beyond one. At least one, we think we understand. It is a mistake. The moment you say one, there is implied two or many. Similarly, it is impossible to think of the highest. That is why, eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha, where the mind comes back baffled, unable to understand what is beyond it. If the mind itself cannot think, the speech, of course, cannot express. That is why it is called nirguna, nirakara, nirvikara, asanga, nithya, and ananta, ekam, nirgunam, etc. What is the Lord telling? Whenever we think of Purusha, we think of Prakriti. Whenever we think of Prakriti, we think of Purusha. Both these always stay together or get destroyed together. And this idea again in the 15th chapter very soon, I mean after finishing the 13th chapter, there will be 14th chapter, and 15th chapter it is telling that I am beyond the Kshara, and I also am beyond the Akshara. Yasma Aksharamati Toham Aksharadapicha Uttamaha Ato Vedecha Loke Praditaha పురుషోత్తమః ఉత్తమ పురుషః. దట్ పురుష ఈజ్ డిఫరెంట్, దిస్ పురుష ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ ఈశ్వర. సో ఈశ్వర గోస్ విత్ మాయా అండ్ మాయా గోస్ విత్ పురుష. ఈశ్వర బోత్ ఆర్ దేర్ టుగెదర్. ఈశ్వర మీన్స్ బోత్ పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి, శివ అండ్ శక్తి. వాట్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ యూస్ టు కాల్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ శివ అండ్ శక్తి. యూ కెనాట్ సపరేట్ దెమ్. సో బోత్ ఆర్ వితౌట్ బిగినింగ్. ఈవెన్ సో సమ్హౌ త్రూ మాయా ఇట్ అపియర్స్ దట్ నిర్ దట్ హైయెస్ట్ రియాలిటీ కాల్డ్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈజ్ డివైడెడ్ యాజ్ ఇట్ ఫర్ ఇన్ టు ఈశ్వర అండ్ ప్రకృతి. అండ్ హౌ డస్ ఇట్ మేనిఫెస్ట్? దెర్ ఆర్ సమ్ సిమిలారిటీస్, సమ్ డిస్సిమిలారిటీస్ విచ్ వెరీ సూన్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్. బట్ హియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు టూ. వన్ ఈజ్ పురుష, అనదర్ ఈజ్ ప్రకృతి. వన్ ఈజ్ ఈశ్వర, అనదర్ ఈజ్ మాయా. వన్ ఈజ్ సబ్జెక్ట్, అనదర్ ఈజ్ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్. వన్ ఈజ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్సర్, అనదర్ ఈజ్ ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్. వన్ ఈజ్ ది నోయర్, అదర్ ఈజ్ ది నోన్. వన్ ఈజ్ ది విట్నెస్, అదర్ ఈజ్ దట్ విచ్ ఈజ్ విట్నెస్. సో దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ డిఫరెంట్ వర్డ్స్ మీనింగ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ది సేమ్ థింగ్. దెర్ ఆర్ టూ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్. ప్రిన్సిపల్ వన్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ పురుష, అనదర్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ ప్రకృతి. బట్ దెర్ ఆర్ సిమిలారిటీస్. పురుష అండ్ ప్రకృతి బోత్ ఆర్ అనాది వితౌట్ బిగినింగ్. దట్ మీన్స్ వెన్ డిడ్ దే బికమ్ వన్ పురుష అనదర్ ప్రకృతి? ఇట్ ఈస్ బియాండ్ అవర్ కాన్సెప్ట్ బికాస్ రిమెంబర్ ది బాడీ మైండ్ హెస్ కమ్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ ది క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది వరల్డ్. అండ్ బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్ దెర్ వాజ్ నో టైమ్, దెర్ వాజ్ నో స్పేస్, దెర్ వాజ్ నో కాజేషన్. అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ దిస్ ఎనీథింగ్ దట్ వీ సే క్రియేటెడ్ బికేమ్ ఎట్ సమ్ పాయింట్, ఎట్ సమ్ పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ స్పేస్ ఫర్ సమ్ పర్టికులర్ రీజన్. సో దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ వీ నీడ్ టు క్లియర్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్. బట్ టైమ్, స్పేస్ అండ్ కాజేషన్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఆర్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్. సో బిఫోర్ క్రియేషన్ యూ కెనాట్ ఈవెన్ పుట్ క్వశ్చన్. దెర్ విల్ బి నోబడీ టు పుట్ ది క్వశ్చన్. ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు క్వశ్చన్ వాట్ ఈస్ బియాండ్ ది క్రియేషన్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు గో బియాండ్ ది క్రియేషన్. అండ్ వెన్ యూ గో బియాండ్ క్రియేషన్, యూ అండ్ ఈశ్వర, యూ అండ్ భగవాన్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ సెపరేట్. అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ హూ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చనర్, హూ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్, వాట్ ఈస్ ది ఆన్సర్? నథింగ్ విల్ బి దేర్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఏకాకార్ అండ్ ఓన్లీ హీ హూ నోస్ he knows it. But when we are questioning, that means already the division takes place. What is that division? The subject and the object, the knower and the known. Purusha is the subject, Prakruti is the object. Purusha seemingly he cognizes and Prakruti is completely jada, which I will come in a moment's time. But we see what is it? Prakruti. What is the Prakruti? వికారాంశ గుణాంశయ విధి ప్రకృతి సంభవం. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దట్ వీ సీ, ది బాడీ, ది మైండ్, ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది పంచభూతాస్ ఇంక్లూడింగ్ ది సటిల్ పంచభూతాస్, వాట్ వీ కాల్ ది జగత్, ది హోల్ యూనివర్స్. ఐ ఇస్ ది సబ్జెక్ట్, ది హోల్ జగత్ ఇంక్లూడింగ్ బాడీ, మైండ్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ప్రకృతి. అండ్ దిస్ జగత్ సీమ్స్ టు బి ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ it is what is called 24 principles. And then secondly is subdivided. First of all, for example, all the living and non-living, first division. Second division would be among the living, there are so many things are there, just as there are so many non-living things, the mountains, the rivers, the earth, everything, what we call panchabhutas, the water, the fire, the air, the akasha. We do not see any life in it, but we see the microbes, then it will become small insects, etc., and then slowly evolve into the trees, etc., and then birds, and then animals, and then human beings, and in the human beings are those who are more endowed with tamas, then more endowed with rajas, and more endowed with sattva. That is how before caste system had come into being. So thus it goes on and on and on. So the Bhagavan Krishna is telling, how do I know? So the person who knows is called Purusha, and that which is known is called Prakruti. And all the changeable experiences, the experiencer experiences, falls under Prakruti, and it has divided itself into so many things. Vikaram, first of all, so many changeful things. Then there are gunas. Gunas, sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, manifesting as colors, sounds, smells, taste and touches. How many? Almost seem to be infinite. So, what are we talking about? O Arjuna, first of all, you wanted to know about Purusha and Prakruti. Purusha and Prakruti, both are beginningless. And then what is the second thing? He is talking that all the experienced, all the known, all the witnessed, everything the drik, the seer, sees, all that is seen, heard, smelled, tasted, touched. The whole thing is many, many, many. And all the things can be classified under one particular name, Prakruti. The person, subject is called Purusha, and everything that falls under the umbrella of the experienced, the known, the seen, the witnessed is called Prakruti. That's what he is telling here. Know that Prakruti and Purusha are both without beginning, and also know that all forms and gunas, that means all the experienceable, experienced objects that we see are born of Prakruti, means manifestations of the Prakruti. The Purusha is unchanging and the Prakruti is ever changing. The Purusha is pure consciousness and the Prakruti is devoid of consciousness, inert, jada. So, with this, now we are entering it, that what is Purusha and what is Prakruti. And as I said, this Purusha is none other than Brahman, but in association with Prakruti, he is called Ishvara. Brahman is, there is no Purusha, there is no Prakruti, there is no name, there is no form, there is no subject-object division, and therefore beyond body-mind, that particular entity, supreme reality is called Brahman. But for some mysterious reason, we don't know how, when, or what purpose that we can never know, and that is what came to be known as Purusha as well as Prakruti. Purusha is pure consciousness, but here I prefer to call it Ishvara. Prakruti, Maya, Gunas, everything synonymous names. So there are differences are there and the similarities are there. First, what is the similarity? Two similarities are there. What is it? Both are beginningless. Prakruti is beginningless as well as the Purusha is also beginningless. And I will give you for your food for thought. See, daytime, day and night. Take this concept. Light and darkness. Good and evil. Happiness and unhappiness. This is called dualities. Now, either both of them are beginningless. You cannot say one is beginning and another is beginningless. If we take one as beginning and the other also we have to include as having beginning. If one is beginningless, another also is beginningless. Suppose you say night has a beginning but daytime has no beginning. That is absurd because the moment you utter the word day, immediately the idea behind is I know about night time. The moment you say it is light, I say that is also, I know what is called darkness. If I say I know man, I know woman. If I say I know good, I also know evil, etc. Either both of them are anadi or both of them go only in the name of anadi. You cannot call one is anadi and another is without beginning, etc. With beginning. So, Purusha and Prakruti, these examples I have given, you have to understand. The moment you understand Ishvara, there is a beginning. And the moment you understand Prakruti, there is a beginning is there. But that beginning is beyond our understanding because the concept of time and space do not exist there. As I mentioned just now, the moment the idea creation comes, the creation is nothing but creation of time, space and causation. Before that, it is timelessness. And Ishvara and Prakruti, if you are thinking they are anadi or beginningless, can you think, can you go beyond your mind? Because mind can think only in the framework of time, space and causation. You can never escape this triangle, this matrix, this framework. Therefore, it is only the scripture which is telling, both are beginningless, but beginningless means it's not a long time. It is not that your mind is incapable of calculating, though it has a beginning. It means it is beyond the mind. So these are the both concepts. Both are beginningless. That is one common feature. What is the second common feature? Purusha cannot create without Prakruti. Prakruti cannot create without Purusha. Kali cannot create without Shiva. Shiva cannot create without Kali. That's why wherever there is Kali, beneath there is Kalatita, what is called Purusha, Ishvara, Shiva. But Shiva does not really create, but he has the power, he imparts without imparting. He, in his very presence, the power for this inert Prakruti to do activity. Any activity, every activity requires knowledge, requires awareness, requires effort. Think what should be done, how it should be done, when it should be done, where it should be done, etc. And that requires consciousness. And that consciousness, what is called Prakruti, doesn't have. That's why Shiva by himself cannot create, and Prakruti or Kali or Maya cannot create by itself. Absolutely, the combination of Purusha and Prakruti are necessary. So that is what you have to understand. And this concept has been brought out so beautifully by most of our ancient poets. And one such great poet was Kalidasa. He was the world's greatest poet. Why? Because he was highly spiritual. He has written some very spiritual books like Raghuvamsa. And their very beginning, if I have to complete this work successfully, then the grace of Shiva and Shakti are necessary. Divine Mother, Kali and Shiva, Parvati and Shiva, Durga and Shiva is necessary. So in the very beginning he writes, Vagartha viva sampruktav, Vagartha pratipattaye, Jagatah pitarav unde, Parvati parameshwarav. I bow down to Parvati Parameshwara. Who are they? Jagatah pitarav. They are the parents, father and mother of this entire universe. Means they are the creators of the universe. And they are inseparable. How? So, Vagarthav iva sampruktav. They are so intimately mixed up together. Sampruktav means mixed up together. How? Vak and artha. The moment I utter man, and if you have the sound knowledge, the language, the knowledge of the language, because if I am speaking Chinese or Japanese and you don't have that knowledge, you will never be able to understand it. Taking for granted that you know what the sounds I make mean, the moment I utter man, immediately the artha, the meaning of that sound flashes in your mind. And whenever you think of a man, the idea of man, immediately the meaning of that, the idea of that man, they will spring. They can never be separated. You can't take a knife and this is the scabbard, this is the sword, and this is the skin of the coconut, this is inside coconut. You cannot separate it like that. They are absolutely together. And I am going to write. I desire to write one of the greatest pieces of literary work. And for that purpose, Vak Artha Pratipattaye, that these ideas as well as the medium to express those ideas in the form of beautiful flow of words can come only by the grace of Parvati and Parameshwara. So I bow down vande, Jagatah Pitarav vande, Parvati Parameshwarav. This is the idea. Just as a word and its meaning, Shabda and its meaning can never be separated, so also Prakruti and Purusha can never be separated. See, the pure consciousness as well as the world, inert thing, can never be separated at all. The Srishti is a combination of both Chaitanya and also Jadapadartha, Prakruti and Purusha. These are the two similarities. What are the similarities? First, both are beginningless because they are before beginning of the creation, in timelessness, they were there. That is what we presume, because we can never think of that which is beyond creation, beyond timelessness. Second is that for the cause of creation, one cannot create. Only a combination of both can create. For example, that a clay cannot itself make itself into a pot. A potter is necessary. A potter is called Purusha or Nimitta Karana, intelligent cause. And the clay is called material cause, Upadana Karana. Only when these two come together, there is a production. So also when Purusha and Prakriti come together, then this whole universe comes. Now there are also dissimilarities. We have to understand it. Purusha is first of all pure consciousness. It doesn't do anything, but by its presence, it lends the power of consciousness, the power of creation, the power of thinking, etc. That is the first difference between Purusha is pure consciousness. Prakriti is completely what you call inert thing. There is no such similarity at all. Not even one shred, one billionth of what is called awareness in the Prakriti. Second, no change even though creation is done. Creation means an activity. Activity means the change. For example, a potter creates a pot. And then before creating, says, I am just a potter. Even that idea of potter cannot come. I am just a man. That's all. The moment he takes clay and creates a pot, then this man has changed into potter. Instead of saying, I am a man, he says, I am a potter. So that is the change. Has it come? So Purusha is not directly responsible. Even though we say without Purusha creation doesn't take place, still he has no active role, only role of the presence. Like in the presence of light, a person can do good or bad things, etc. This is a very deep tattva one has to understand. As the one example is, the sun is shining, the fire is burning. Go and ask the sun. So why are you shining? So shining is an activity according to us. He says, what are you talking about? What is this business called shining? I don't know anything about shining. But you are giving light. No, I am not giving light. I am light. And if you obtain that light, you are borrowing it. I know nothing about it. Good can borrow, evil people can borrow, or you can do not borrow anything at all. You don't do anything. Simply you keep quiet. You are completely free. I know nothing about it. So why are you burning, O fire? I am not burning. That is my nature. That's it. And in its presence, you do whatever you like. You are responsible for activities. I am not at all responsible. I am not even aware of all these things. So all changes take place only. What is called Purusha is Chetana Tattvam or pure consciousness, and complete opposite is Prakriti, which is no consciousness at all. That is the first difference. Second difference is, even when Prakriti is in the presence, through the presence of the Purusha, is doing something, here in this doing means Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. That is the activity. That's why every day we sing Srishti, Sthiti, Vinashanam, Shakti, Bhute, Sanatani, Gunashraye, Gunamaye, Narayani, Namostute. Without the consciousness, it is not possible to do anything, but consciousness has no role to play, excepting it is, that's all. A magnet doesn't say, I am attracting. But in the presence of the magnet, certain changes take place in the surrounding, what you call iron metal molecules. That's a different issue. The magnet even doesn't know about these things. But all the changes take place only in the Prakriti. So, the Purusha is changeless and Prakriti is completely changing. This is the second change. Then Purusha is Nirguna. He doesn't have any attributes. Prakriti has Saguna, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. With the help of these three Gunas, they are not three adjectives of Prakriti. Prakriti is three gunas. And with the help of the three gunas, the whole Srishti is supposed to be more of sattva, sthiti is more of rajas, and laya is more of tamas. That's why the three different roles, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. So, what is the third difference? The what is called Purusha is Nirguna without any attributes, whereas Prakruti is having all the attributes, means only three, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. All the other attributes are only a combination of these three attributes. The fourth difference that we get is that the Purusha is absolutely independent, but Prakruti is absolutely dependent. Just as, simple example, at the snake that anyone perceives in semi-darkness is the completely what is called dependent existence. The snake has a dependent existence. What does it mean? Without the presence and substratum of the rope, the snake can never be seen, nothing can be seen. There must be some substratum. But the rope has never become the snake. What does it mean? The snake is independent, there is no change in it, that's why it is called Satyam. And what is the meaning of Satyam? That which never changes. Whereas, because of the Maya, that means semi-darkness, fear and similarity, etc., which belong to the Prakruti, the snake appears. A snake appears in time, and whatever appears in time also disappears in time. That is why the snake is totally dependent upon the rope, and the rope is totally independent of the snake, or a garland, a streak of water, or whatever your imagination can superimpose upon that. So this is the fourth difference. So we have seen these are the differences, and if we understand these differences, then we can understand better. So that fourth one, but are all the other three things. One is Jada, and one completely dependent, one is constantly changing, and one is endowed with so many gunas. These four qualities combined together, they are not separate things. One in four, four in one. They are also called another name, Asatya or Mithya. Purusha is Satya and Prakruti is Mithya. That is the meaning of that beautiful verse we are seeing now, just now. Prakrutim purushan chaiva vidhyanadi ubhavapi vikaramsya gunams chaiva vidhi prakruti sambhavan. We move on to 21st verse. Karya karana kartrutve hetuhu prakruti uchyate purushaha sukhadukhanam bhoktrutve hetuhu uchyate. We are depending heavily upon this Sankhya school of philosophy here. Karya karana kartrutve hetuhu prakruti uchyate. Now, prakruti is said to be the cause of the generation of the body and the organs, and purusha is said to be the cause of the experience of pleasure and pain. Very interesting analysis. What does it mean? Earlier we have discussed what are the main similarities and also differences of both Purusha and as well Prakruti between them. Now here, very categorically it is said, who is produces? Supposing you say here is a pot, and various types of pots can be made. Round pot, square pot, angular pot, small pot, big pot with different colors. But what is the main cause of that? Material cause? Clay. So, like that, Prakruti is comparable to that material. Out of that clay, just as a potter fashions the same clay into various differentiable objects, so also, in the presence of the Purusha, this Prakruti takes so many forms. So many vikaras will come. What are the most important things that come? First of all, our physical body. Secondly, our mind. For this, there is a big philosophy which I will not go into. By this time, you must be very familiar with it. But very briefly, what it means is the whole external world is made up of panchabhutas. Akasha, space, vayu, air, agni, fire, jala, adbhihi, that is water, and earth, or what is called prithvi, or bhu, by whatever name you want to call. The entire gross physical world, including my own body, which is a part of that, is all made up of these five bhutas. But These are called five gross elements. What does it mean? These who from where they have come, from their causes. What is the cause? There are very subtle five bhutas. Same akasha, vayu, agni, apaha, prithivi. But they are very subtle. Subtle means not small. Subtle means beyond the grasp of the experienceability through the five sense organs. If it is even small, with the help of microscope we can see. If it is too big, we can see it through the help of the telescope. But here what we are talking is that subtle. But this subtle body, that means our mind, our consisting of manas, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. Mano, buddhi, ahankara, chittani. This is called sukshma sarira. With this sukshma sarira, we are experiencing the mostly dream world. So this subtle body, sukshma sharira, is also coming from the same prakruti. First prakruti becomes the subtle body, then, or I would say this way, first the prakruti becomes the what is called karana sharira, causal body, where everything is mixed up, everything is there, but in an invisible state, potential state. Then it slowly becomes even more gross. The causal world, when it becomes more grossified, it is what we call subtle body. We call it mind. Mind includes these four faculties, that is memory, that is gathering information and deciding what is right knowledge and what to do about it. And this ego is sense of ego. I decide, I gather information, and I know what to do, what not to do, whether to enjoy or not. This, all these changes take place in prakruti. That is what Bhagavan is telling. Karya. Karya means effect really. That means the entire gross universe, the entire gross body, both are called karyas. Karana means the cause for this entire external gross world is the internal subtle world, our own samskaras, our past karmas, etc. That's why we say that Brahma doesn't create the world. We, with our past samskaras, create our own world. This is the most marvelous point of knowledge which we have to understand. So if you ask anybody, how many worlds are there? Say, only one. We are all experiencing that one world, which is absolute bunk, rotten. It is not correct. We are, each one of us are living in our own world. Mosquito's world is different. A fly world is different. A dog's world is different. A baby's world is different. And a man's world is different. A woman's world is different. And who is creating? Only all of us are creating individually. But there is a common point God has created. So we think we are acting and reacting only from this God-created world. No, that is the raw material. What God supplies is the raw material. And what we fashion out of that raw material is our own individual world. We are the Brahmas. We are also the Vishnus. We are also the Shivas. And through our activity, through the preponderance of these gunas, whether sattva, rajas, or tamas, then we create and we maintain and we destroy. That's a marvelous idea. I hope you will get it. Prakruti is responsible for the creation of both the external and internal world. Then what is the role of the Purushaha? Sukha dukkhana. Bhoktrutve hetaruchyate. The Purusha is said to be the cause of the experience of both pleasure and pain. Because without consciousness, nobody can create. Without consciousness, no activity is possible. Without consciousness, thinking is not possible. And knowing is not possible. And feeling that I am the doer is not possible. And experiencing what we do is not also possible. But the end result is, it is the result of what we do expressed in the form of the creation of this body and mind. But this body, mind, living in this particular environment, which we call the world, which we call the life, our particular life, we go on doing so many things, and the end result of all the activities that we do end up in only two experienceable values. They are called sukha and dukkha. So every activity, physical or mental, results either in sukha or dukkha. Often it is a combination of both. This purusha consciousness should be there in the mind. This is a wonderful thing, I am enjoying it. This is not wonderful thing, I am suffering from it. To be conscious of both, that consciousness is necessary, and that is the function of the purusha. So prakriti is said to be the cause of the generation of the body and the organs, both external and internal, and purusha, that means chidabhasa, that means a ray of that pure consciousness, is said to be the cause of the experience of pleasure and pain. This is a most wonderful, this one we have to understand. Then we go to the next verse. Karya karana kartrutve hetu prakruti ruchyate purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktrutve hetu ruchyate. Then where is this purusha? Purushah prakrutistho hi bhunkte prakruti jan gunan karanam gunasangah asya sad asad yoni janmasu. Now we come to a very important familiar vada, belief, siddhanta. We are all jivatmas. Jivatma means what? A bit of consciousness and prakriti, both combined. This is called jivatma. Jiva is pure consciousness. When it mixes and identifies itself with body mind, it is called jivatma. And this jivatma creates lots of activities by the usage of gunas called sattva, rajas and tamas. And the result of these various activities is that either we do what is called punya or papa, dharma or adharma, right or wrong action. The result is punya or papa, merit or demerit, and the experience various types of bodies, environments, etc. This is being beautifully said in this 22nd verse, which we will discuss in tomorrow morning's class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti.